Some give freely, yet all the richer, others without what they do, only suffer want. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. It's not just the message of the Bible. Science and human experience find it to be true. The generous will find themselves to be blessed. In Acts 20, 35, we read Paul speak to the church leaders. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You might be wondering where we read Jesus say the straightforward statement. Though the saying itself does not appear in the Gospels, it recalls Luke 6:38 in the sermon called Sermon on the Plain. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put back into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Does it sound to you like a give and take deal? In fact, his call is high and noble. It becomes clear when these words of Jesus are put into our consideration. He said in Luke 22:27, and in other places, who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. If this is our belief that true happiness and life satisfaction is found in following Jesus' example and teachings, thus a path to happiness is found in serving like Jesus, being generous in sharing and giving.
Amen to that. As I can say, it is actually a summary of this whole sermon. After we sang the song and the prayer of dedication and heard this reading of the scripture, then actually I can again say that we are done because the message was proclaimed. But it doesn't mean that you are given permission to leave now. Please stay with me. Yeah, as you can see on the slide, so this is our second Sunday with our sermon series titled Searching for Happiness. Happiness is what all of people want more of in their lives. Right, at Forbes.com, I found an article that introduced the result of a survey with about 800 professionals asking this question. If you could say in one word what you want more of in life, what would that be? Okay, think about what is your answer to that question. Actually, these people had this number one answer. It was happiness. They say this single word as the number one missing element as they wish more of. So then the best challenge is this. We don't know what we wanted to do to make our lives happier. So, I quote from this report, happiness continually escapes us, perhaps because first we don't understand exactly what will make us happy. And that's why we have this series. And secondly, because we tend to search outside ourselves for happiness in a job, in a spouse, in a family, in a title, in a fancy house, and you name it. Then as a result, happiness is constantly out of control and perpetual moving target that never stands still long enough for us to catch. We all know that these things don't bring happiness. But we know they can bring some happiness to us. But at the same time, don't we know firsthand that if we are searching for happiness outside of our life, and in that way, if everything that we are searching for remains outside of us, then we will always be chasing and scrambling with this understanding. Last Sunday, we embraced the truth that happiness is an inside job. Positive attitude is the ground on which this inside job should be built. And this job is an act of discipline, taking effort and practice, and most of all, it is an act of faith, putting our trust in what God says about us. In other words, claiming our identity, not with what we do or fail to do, but with who God says we are. Then today, we are going to discover another trait of happy and contented people. Then let me begin with this statement. As you can find this on the next slide, being generous really does make you happier. Okay, do you think this is a quote from a stewardship sermon? No, it's the title of an article in the Time magazine. It is what scientific researchers have found to be true. Then following the heading, the article, which was published in July 2017, reports two studies. One by neuroscientist has discovered that even thinking about doing something generous has real benefits, boosting your mood in the brain. The other research, which was featured in this article and that was published in a health psychology journal, indicates that spending money on others can be as effective at lowering blood pressure as medication or exercise. Then you say, low blood pressure is not my concern, I'm fine. No, actually, this spending money on others also reduces stress. Is anyone, the stress is not an issue in your life? No, right? Then last Sunday, I referred to Dr. Sonia Lyubomirsky's research work. She is a professor of psychology at University of California, Riverside. And one book she wrote that made her best-selling author is titled, The How of Happiness. The How of Happiness. In the book, which is an outcome of her decade-long research on studying human happiness, she states this, I quote, "Scientific advances in this field are solid and rigorous enough to interpret and translate into specific recommendations." Then she offers 12 recommendations to increase our happiness. Then here are the 12 happiness increasing strategies, which might you say, I don't need it because I know what I need to do. But maybe just to bring your awareness again, refresh, then let me introduce these 12 strategies. First, happiness activity number one, expressing gratitude. Number two, cultivating optimism. Number three, avoiding overthinking and social comparison. And these first three won't be possible with negative attitude, right? So, and we talked about it last Sunday, then here is happiness number four, practicing acts of kindness. In other words, practicing generosity. Then the list of happiness activities goes on like this. Nurturing social relationship, learning to cope, learning to forgive, learning to live in the present, increasing flow experiences, which means the body involvement, movement activities. And number 10, committing to your goals, focusing on your goals, right? Then 11, taking care of your body, and 12, practicing religion and spirituality. I love it, right? Then, now, to be honest, I switched the numbers between activity 11 and 12. So the next 2 weeks, we will learn more from her research works. So let's come back to the first, in the second group of these happiness activities, practicing generosity. Dr. Lyubomirsky and her research team conducted various happiness experiments with real people. For instance, they recruited participants into two groups, asked them to perform 5 acts of kindness per week or for over the course of 6 weeks. Then the first group was instructed to do these acts anytime throughout the week. You just do it, but make sure that you do 5 acts of kindness per week. But the second group was instructed to do the 5 acts on one single day of a week. For example, all on every Monday. Then which group of people do you think show elevation and happiness? Interesting enough, the boost was reported by those who practiced their weekly generosity all in one single day, instead of spreading the act of kindness over 7 days of each week. Then, I, again, as a person of church, if I apply this to your generosity with your time, then I would say that setting aside your Sunday, one day of a week, for your relationship with God makes you happier. Instead of saying, okay, I think about God, I think about church, anytime I can do it. No, setting aside a time, that will make you happier. But by the way, in her book, she shares more experience, more experiments, and she and her team did, then she says this. Those studies confirm over and over that doing acts of kindness on a regular basis makes people happy for an extended period. So now let's talk about why. Why being generous and doing acts of kindness makes us happy? And it's because, first, in our relationship with others, being kind and generous leads us to perceive others more positively, more charitably. It relieves distress or discomfort over others' difficulties and sufferings. And we then see a cascade of positive consequences that follow our act of kindness and generosity. As we see that what we did satisfies someone's needs, it wins us smiles, thankfulness, and valued friendship. That way we feel the happiness overflows as we see others. But at the same time, doing acts of kindness and generosity also increase a sense of awareness, appreciation for our own good fortune. In simple language, helping others makes us feel advantaged, thankful by comparison. And we know that when we put our children in a kind of simple mission cause, one of the kind of first responses from them about their experience is, yeah, I feel grateful about what I have, like that. And it even heals our wounds. So there is an ancient tale about a woman whose only son died. In her grief, she went to the holy man in the town and said, What is your wisdom about way to heal my grief? And the wise man said to her, bring me a mustard seed from a home that has never known sorrow, and we will use it to drive the sorrow out of your life. Then the woman went off in search of that magical mustard seed. She came first to a splendid mansion and knocked at the door and said, I am looking for a home that has never known sorrow. Is this a place? They told her, you have certainly come to the wrong place. And they began to describe all the tragic things that had recently befallen them. The woman said to herself, who is better able to help these poor, unfortunate people than me, having had misfortune of my own? So she stayed there to comfort them. And then she went on in search of a home that had never known sorrow. But wherever she turned, in hovels, in mansions, in families, in singles, and she found one tale after another of sadness and grief and misfortune. Then she became so involved in ministering to other people's grief. That is to say, she generously gave of her time. And it ultimately made her forget about her quest for the magical mustard seed, never realizing that such a generosity had driven the sorrow out of her life. Jesus is right. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Then my study Bible refers to Luke chapter 6, verse 31 on the foot of this Acts passage. And you may say about the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6, it's hard to understand. It's hard to embrace what Jesus says, give, it'll be given to you. Does Jesus promise here that if we give to God and to others, then God will give more in return to us? That's not how it works all the time in our lives. Actually, up to this point, the sermon was not that hard. Being happy, which is a self-regarding desire, and being generous, which is an altruistic notion. Both ideas seem to be well reconciled when science helps us to be convinced that act of helping others indeed benefits our mental, emotional, and consequently physical health and well-being. Then I wish I could finish there. So I couldn't finish my writing of the sermon until last night. And while I was doing it, I received my phone call from my parents. And I said, okay, I was, to be honest with you, I was hesitant. Okay, I need to write this sermon, but should I take this phone? But I did it. And then I said to my parents as they were together, and I was writing a sermon about giving. And then what is their first response? Good luck. So, then here is a question to us. As Christians, what does it mean that giving makes us happier with Jesus' promise of receiving? With the passage of Luke chapter 6, verse 38, you might have heard a preacher say aloud like this, God wants you to be generous. So if you are obedient to God by giving generously, especially to God, then you will get reward from God more than what you gave. So do the math. Don't miss out the best way to get rich and be happy. Can I say this way here? No. Of course, I would love to receive a blessing, a good measure pressed down and shaken together, running over in return for what we give. But that doesn't work that way. We do not. But most of all, okay, again, that doesn't work that way. Let's talk more about it. There is no guarantee that if we tithe, we will never lose our job or never become so sick that we have to pay expensive hospital bills. No. But most of all, we do not give to God in order to get something better and more in return. But here, please don't get me wrong. This is my confession of faith and testimonial that giving to God and to others doesn't put me in poverty. Actually, giving and to kind of just please myself put me in poverty. And then the unmistakable blessings of God flow into my life when I give freely and cheerfully. That's my experience. What about you? Here, what the science discovery that helping others help ourselves and makes us happy convince us, what that scientific discovery convinced us is this. First, we shouldn't do acts of generosity and kindness with a sense of condescension or pity or out of obligation, but out of gratitude to those, who allow us to practice kindness toward them. So in that way, I say in our act of kindness as our church mission, say, thank you for allowing us to do this to you. And then this is gratitude. Thanks to the people who graciously receive our act of generosity and kindness and which increase our happiness. And thanks, as a person of faith, we say thanks to the one who generously gifts us with a fortune and heart to practice generosity toward others. Just as a generosity enhances our happiness, so does gratitude. So I can say this, we people of God give because we are people of gratitude. We are people who can count our blessings. Let's sing this song. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And that to some of you, the reverse may speak more of the truth. When you give, you may feel grateful. We understand human interconnectedness. What we have become and what we will have become are indebted to people around us and to the community that support and protect us. I can live my life because others do their part. We, people of faith, say this truth about human interconnectedness this way, by confessing that God is the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of all, from whom all that we have and all that we are come. God gives us gifts. These gifts are not supposed to be hoarded, but meant to be shared. Therefore, we share our gift in recognition of the one who has given us gift, and in celebration of each other's gift, along with many. So we sing, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Second, we give because we are the people who know the way that giving makes us happier. Giving makes us happier has to do with God's love for us and our love for God. John 3:16 is the verse that communicates God's gracious generosity and God's joy of giving. Because simply this passage says this, because God loved the world, God gave. And when God gave, God was happy. Because God's giving means more life. Likewise, because we love God, we give. Love blossoms with joy into generosity. We are the people who have decided to follow Jesus because we love Jesus, and which means then we wanted to live like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, who says to us that I'm here not to be served, but to serve. And we have decided to let His words and teaching be testified, amplified, and personified through our words and actions in this world. And this is different from saying that we give in order to please God or to pay dues. No, this is to say that we give out of love to work with God as a little Jesus on earth to fulfill God's will for all in the world. The reason why I introduced you to Compassion International is because God's heart is there. Then I hope for my life, for my family, for you, my beloved fellow followers of Jesus Christ, that through our acts of generous giving, may we express freely and cheerfully our gratitude and our love of God. Especially when it comes to our offering, may it be a way of saying, oh God, I thank you. And you know, oh God, I love you. And here is my expression. And I hope you will use this somehow to make a difference in the world. This weekend marks the 20th year of 9/11. This is a day of remembrance. We remember those whose lives are remembered for what? For their sacrificial and generous giving of themselves. Then what about us? When the time comes, what would you want your loved ones to remember you for? My hope is that people would remember me as a person who loved Jesus, so I was generous. My hope is that people would say of us, oh, he was defined by generosity. She loved what Jesus taught. It's more blessed to give than to receive. My hope is that we would learn the truth of this old saying. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. May this word be true in our life. Thanks be to God. Amen. With this, which was well received. I'm glad, as some of church members after the first service, yes, it was they appreciate the sermon. Actually, the gentleman said it, and then soon after, we three of us, I mean, the gentleman and his wife and me were talking about his hearing problem. After he said that was a good sermon, then we were talking about, yeah, he was the suffering from hearing trouble. But by the way, I hope that you receive this sermon well with your open heart. Then now, as our song of faith, let's sing this song. So we have four stanzas in the bulletin. I'm going to live, I'm going to work, I'm going to pray, I'm going to sing. Let's add this as our fifth stanza. I'm going to give. How about this? Can we do it? Please stand. Let's sing it. I'm gonna live so